Time now for the news. After the news, we're going to speak with Vin Cox from the Magic Millions, Paul Gow, Emily Lees and Mickey Edwards.
Sarah Wombeek. Police in the US say there are no signs that any sort of altercation prompted an Iraq War veteran to shoot dead five people at Fort Lauderdale Airport in Florida. The 26-year-old suspect, Esteban Santiago, had a history of acting erratically, and investigators are probing whether mental illness played a role in America's latest mass shooting. Florida Governor Rick Scott says an investigation into a motive for the attack is underway.
We all want answers, and I know law enforcement is working hard to understand exactly what happened. Last night I went to Broward Health Medical Center to visit some of the victims and their families. Some of the victims were still in surgery fighting for their life.
Police have been called to the Parkville Youth Detention Centre in Melbourne to help quell a rebellion by teenage inmates. News Corp reports that staff had to be evacuated after up to 20 inmates tried to break out of a secure section of the facility last night. More than 30 police officers were at the centre, including the Critical Incident Response Team, the Dog Squad and the Police Air Wing. Two men have been charged over an attack on a man who checked himself into a Gold Coast hospital with a gunshot wound to his face. The shooting took place at an Ashmore residence early yesterday morning, with the injured man being driven to the hospital at about 4 a.m. Police have arrested two men aged 21 and 22 and charged them with acting to cause grievous bodily harm to appear in Southport Magistrates Court tomorrow. A woman will face court today over an axe attack at a Sydney service station that left two people injured. The attack in Enmore early yesterday morning left a 32-year-old man with serious head injuries and a 43-year-old woman with a fractured skull. The female victim says it was terrifying.
I was thinking about my daughter and what it meant to her, but it is terrifying because you just don't realise that these things can happen anywhere at any time, and that, you know, you're never going to be prepared.
A woman in her 20s has been charged with intentionally causing grievous bodily harm and been refused bail to front Parramatta Bail Court today. A week of heavy rains and floods have left at least 18 people dead and thousands of villages submerged in southern Thailand. The BBC's Celia Hatton reports.
In some parts of southern Thailand, the water has risen to the rooftops. Many flights, trains and bus services have been delayed or suspended, power lines toppled. The Thai Navy has responded to the flooding by stationing its largest ship in the south to act as a floating command center, dispatching aid using helicopters and small boats. For many, the downpours and flooding couldn't have come at a worse time. Tourism plays a vital role in the Thai economy, and this is usually peak holiday season.
And briefly, a fuel truck has exploded in the busy centre of a rebel-held town near Syria's border with Turkey, killing dozens of people and wounding dozens more. And thousands of people are protesting in the South Korean capital for the 11th weekend in a row, demanding the resignation of their president, Park Geun-hye, over a corruption scandal. This is Air News. In the A-League, Brisbane Roar's unbeaten run at Suncorp Stadium is over with a loss to the Newcastle Jets. A late strike from Morten Nordstrand sealed the deal for Newcastle, resulting in a 3-2 victory. Brisbane Roar coach John Aloisi says his team became complacent after taking a first-half lead.
When you go 1-0 up, you want to go 2-3 and really take the game to them, because they weren't creating anything, and there's always the opportunity they're going to catch you, and they did, and that's not good. That's what I'm disappointed in.
The Roar will now meet second-place Melbourne Victory next week at Amy Park, while Newcastle are at home to Perth Glory. And in the other match, Melbourne Victory beat Adelaide United 2-0 at Cooper Stadium in Adelaide. In the tennis, France have claimed their second Hopman Cup after beating the US in the Fast Four mixed doubles at Perth Arena. The Americans went down 5-0 in the mixed doubles, ending their bid for a seventh Hopman Cup crown. And a man in outback Queensland is attempting to set a world record by continuously playing lawn bowls for 3 days to raise funds for his club. Shane Barwick from the Cloncurry Bowls Club started on Friday morning and will finish about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. He says he wants to raise $20,000 for a veranda over the club's disability ramp. Australian Independent Radio News.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
All covered, all ground, all beaten. Franco won the champion stakes and lived up to the fight.
International Racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
And the weather in Sydney, early fog patches in the outer west, mostly sunny morning with cloud increasing during the day. Light winds becoming northeasterly, 25 to 35 kilometres in the middle of the day and then becoming light in the late evening, a top of 29. Where are we hitting in New South Wales, Jimmy?
We decided on this.
Well, Croydon and Coffs Harbour.
Coffs Harbour, yeah. Smooth as a barbed wire sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, come on. I tell you what, the lack of support from the production staff is noticeable, isn't it?
Here? I tell you what, they're on to you.
Yeah.
If this is any indication of how the year might unfold, it could be a long 2017.
It's amazing that with the lack of support that we can even go to air. You should see the support they get for Ray Thomas. Oh, can I get you anything, Ray?
Well, it's funny.
Oh, yeah, Ray, can I get you a tea?
Ray did say to he did message me the other day and he said, just whenever you are getting, you know, on the bit, just to say you're a hard man, Jimmy. You're a hard man, Jimmy.
Yeah, we know what that's code for. Even Ray Thomas. See, even from Fiji.
He's unbelievable.
He's upsetting me. Judy, you see why he does it? Croydon, a little bit hotter than Sydney, 30 degrees in Croydon. And as for Coffs Harbour, of course, they're running up at Coffs Harbour, possible morning shower and a maximum temperature much more palatable on the coast, 28 degrees.
28.
And then came Flying Artie, the capitalist, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, but capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length to Yankee Rose.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yes, welcome back to the program. Looks like it's going to be the same long year for me again as it was in 2016.
Of course, Ray Thomas in on holiday, vacation. Dave Stanley with you as well.
Yeah. Enjoying your time. You're two hours into your radio
career. I am enjoying
career.
This. I am enjoying this. This is good fun.
It's good fun, isn't it?
Good way to start the day. I just love talking sport. Yeah. That's the main thing. You're getting paid to talk sport. I mean, this is what I've...
Shh. We, let everyone know, in on the secret.
It's day. Just unbelievable. If you're out there listening and you're a young bloke, you want to get involved.
Absolutely.
Get cracking.
But don't follow the path that we followed. 1353 53 is the open line number. And get us on the SMS as well. 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. And, of course, you can get us on the tweets as well. And the tweet is at Big Sports WEND. Steve says, cold hero, one of the Roosters, one for the Roosters fans. Craig Salvatore. Mm-hmm. Big Salvo. What a legend. Yes, definitely a cult hero. We've already had former Australian player Eddie Cowan tweet the program, so we appreciate Ed listening. The dartboard punter has said Ronnie Palmer. You know Ronnie Palmer, the trainer?
Yeah, I don't know him, but yeah.
Yeah. He's got that many nicknames, the Cougar, the 40-20 or the 50-20 or the 60-20 as he is now.
Speaking of racing, a cult hero and a new cult hero, Gary Moore. His celebrations after takedown.
Yes.
And there's more celebrations to come, no doubt, as he continues his training career here in Australia. But the way he gets up and about and runs onto the track away from Greg Radley. Greg can't get the interview because Gary's half a furlong down the track patting the horse. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's fantastic. This SMS coming in, cult hero, Michelle Jenneke, boys. Wow.
Yes.
Okay, settle down, buddy. Early on a Sunday morning. Should be at Mass. 1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to callers there. Adrian is on the line. Hello, Adrian.
Morning, Adrian.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Dave. Happy New Year to you two fine gentlemen.
Thank you, Adrian, mate. And to you.
Yeah, mate, I'm starting the year on a really good note. I'm going to keep going on. Now, what I want to say is, I reckon, looking back about to do with hundreds before lunch, I reckon had they been the current conditions with the current quality of world bowling attacks, I had Gordon Green just six of them, and Desmond Haynes at about five. And someone argued the point they didn't have to face their own bowlers. Well, they only had to face Lilly, Tomo, Sir Richard Hadley, Waqar Yunus, and
Imran.
Probably the greatest fast bowler I've ever seen was Akram. So yeah.
Victor Trumper, Charles McCartney, Donald Bradman, Majid Khan, and David Warner, the only five people in Test history to score a century before lunch on day one.
Do you reckon it would have been a lot harder in the 70s and 80s than it is now, Jimmy?
Yes, I posted a picture on Instagram the other day. I was out at the SCG and I was up in the newsstand looking down. The sight screen was on the field of play, and then about further 5 metres in, maybe even 7 metres in, was the rope.
Yeah,
and I thought, God, how short is this boundary?
It's become beyond a joke. I mean, and the other thing is too, you know, Greenidge and Haynes had sometimes they'd face, you know, the complete over of short pitch deliveries. There's no limit to those, and they're not wearing body armour.
Correct.
You know, and I mean, you can only do what you can do. But and also, as I said, the world bowling attacks over the last dozen years or so, they're just average in comparison to those, you know, great years in the past. And this doesn't seem to be that level come up to again, whether it's because they've concert, probably maybe because 2020 come in and all that sort of thing. And it's no surprise. Look, I don't know what sort of level of interest you have in the test matches. I know you took the boys there, which is terrific, but I don't really follow the test cricket. That's why the 2020 has been like a godsend for people that love cricket.
I think you're right. I think that it's certainly introducing new fans to the game of cricket. In saying that, there's never been more people that have turned up to a Australia v Pakistan test match at the SCG than the one we've just had.
That's right. And I'll say something to your point. If you're talking about like the ropes, why then aren't other players in the world today looking at that and batting like Dave Warner? How come he's the only seems to be the only bloke with that attacking mentality?
I think they are.
They're just not as...
Yeah, it's the bats, it's the restrictions on the bowlers, it's the flat wickets.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I was talking to a friend of mine at the cricket on day one, and there was not a ball deviated day one. Like, Muhammad Amir couldn't even swing the ball.
Mm.
And as a result of that, you're looking at that, and he said, look, they've got ICC umpires, they should have ICC curators. The curators go there 3 months beforehand and say, this is a wicket that is at least going to challenge people across the 5 days.
But is that because they want 5 days of cricket?
Well, that's the deep cynic in you, isn't it, Dave?
Well, you know.
And it makes sense. You've got TV product. You can only run F Troop for so long.
That's right.
You know, on days four and five.
That's right.
Anyway, 1353 53, the open line number. We're going to take a break. It's just a quick stinger, as they say in the industry. And back with Glyn Schofield.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, you know, you get such great exposure on this program that if you miss your slot from an interview point of view, despite the as well as the fact that we're slagging you off in here because he didn't take our call, what you do is you ring up straight away and try and get back on.
Well, I wasn't slagging anyone off, so you're on your own there, Jim Smith.
Oh,
please.
Well, in that case, then, we very sheepishly say good morning to Glyn Schofield. Hello, Glyn.
Morning, fellas. How are you?
Really great to have you on the program. Hey, I want to ask about this little bit of weight you had to drop yesterday. Is that right? You went for a trot around Warwick Farm just to get rid of the last half kilo?
I did, but first of all, I must just say that very popular saying that all good things are worth waiting for.
Yes.
Oh, here we go. Next thing you'll say, good things come in small packages. Is that right?
Dynamite.
But you had a little bit of weight to drop?
I did, yeah. A little bit more weight to lose. I just did a little trot around the track yesterday, and in this week, yeah. But I managed to get the weight off, and it was worthwhile in the end.
Glenn, what about this bloke, Del Cielo? Absolutely trucking into the straight, and as you commented when you spoke to Ray Hickson from the telly, and it's in today's paper, that it was just a matter of steering him and getting the job done.
Yeah, that's right. Geez, he was a very dominant winner yesterday. Of course, he's shown that he's got a lot of potential, and he's contested obviously better races than he won yesterday. But he put it all together yesterday for a very comfortable win. And I think maybe Chris Lees has just sort of tweaked him right. They've obviously given him a little operation to sort of get his mind on the job and dropped him back in distance.
Yeah,
that was the key.
Yeah, that is interesting. What Chris is doing it. Because I'm not sure what the best distance for him is, Glenn. Do you have a thought? Could you get him out to a 1,400?
Look, the way he won yesterday over the 1,000, he seems to be quite brilliant and have a lot of speed. So, of course, when he was a colt, you know, trying to get him out to those good distances that make him quite valuable if he'd won a good race was obviously the goal. But you know, he's now a gelding, so you know that doesn't come into the picture now.
Sure.
You can just train the horse for the races that sort of suit him. And of course, he's clearly shown Chris what types of races he prefers, and yesterday's shorter distance was clearly into his liking.
Glenn, I've got to ask, as soon as I saw that comment about the 1,400 and the way that he won yesterday, and he stopped the clock at 57.7, which is only a 1.5 outside the course record there, and especially on the ground. You know, a race like, and I know you've got to try and keep a lid on it, but a race like the Stradbroke gets in with nothing on its back, and a track like Eagle Farm, if you can continue on this sort of upward spiral of what he started tomorrow, do you think sort of that level is within his grasp?
The way he won yesterday, I don't think there's a level that you couldn't aim for. Of course, the horse will tell us which way to go, whether it's the shorter trips or those ones that are just that little bit further. But certainly he has shown that he can run a mile. But the brilliance that he shows, of course, once he gets a bit deeper into his prep, and he if he continues on the way that we hope he will. I don't think you could rule too much out, but, still early days yet. He's still got to quite get there, but his win yesterday just gives you a little bit of hope that he can go somewhere.
Tricky at the barriers, but you had a trick of your own up your sleeves. You're not prepared to divulge what that was, Glenn?
I obviously hadn't had much to do with him, but Chris had told me that he's a bit quirky in the gates. He sort of bunny hops coming out, and he doesn't get away cleanly, so just managed, with the help of the barrier attendants, of course, we just fiddled around with him in the gates and just try to keep his mind, instead of being a bit anxious, because he's quite an anxious fellow. He sweats up and gets a little bit anxious before his run. We're just trying to keep his mind off the job at hand and just sort of get him into a neutral frame of mind, which is what happened, and he jumped cleanly and was really travelling well throughout the run for me.
Glenn, I've got to ask you a question. You're obviously great mates with Jeff Lloyd, and we saw Jeff yesterday on Hootson winning, and I wanted to ask you, because you've ridden From Within, if you had to pick one to ride on Saturday in the Magic Millions, who do you jump on? And I'm sort of trying to probe, I guess, if you've spoken to Jeff at the barbecue, because I know your families catch up, and he might have said, hey Glenn, I think I've got a beauty here.
Yeah, I think Jeff can win the 3-year-old, and I think the 2-year-old will come back to New South Wales. I think From Within, she's very smart. Of course, 2-year-olds can make progress from one run to the next. From Within, as we know with Chris's horses, they always get better with racing. And he's not that prolific with 2-year-olds, but to have one of her quality, I think that she's going to be way too good. To be honest, only bad luck, I think, could get her beaten.
Yeah,
gee, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely,
very good, Mal.
Second favourite there, and Glenn. Speaking of Magic Millions, we're chatting with Vin Cox next, so we've got to say goodbye. We do appreciate you calling back, though, and you're right, the wait was worth it.
It was, and Well done to the cricketers since they got a little touch up in the last.
You know what? I was not going to bring anything up like that, and somehow I thought, hang on, you win 3-0 against Pakistan, but someone always wants to go back to the 2-1 series loss to South Africa, don't they?
But you know what? It was great to see the way they're batting, especially. Anyone playing better? Unbelievable.
Yeah, incredible. Incredible, isn't it? Good on you, Glenn.
Thanks,
appreciate
Glenn.
That. Good luck next week.
Two good fellas. Thanks a lot.
There he is, Glenn Schofield, who's got a win yesterday, quite obviously, and some very good rides coming up in the Magic Millions Carnival, which is next Saturday.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith. With lips closed
and eyes. Yeah, now the Magic Millions is a race day, as we know, but it's also, there's a sales associated with that as well, and it is just going from strength to strength. The managing director of the Magic Millions is Vin Cox. He's been there, I think it's about his sixth year in charge, and he's been good enough to come on the line this morning to have a chat about what's coming up. G'day, Vin.
Yeah, good morning, lads. Yeah, well informed. It is my sixth one. I was only adding it up yesterday.
Yeah, right. And it's the second year also of the $10 million race day. What impact has that had on, from your point of view, on the sales and what you've seen there from a return point of view?
Oh, it's been game changing. It really has. The quality of horses lifted up significantly. The horses that we're now getting shown to be on the farms to come to our sale. We would have only dreamt of in years gone by, and now we're just getting such good quality. The quality of buyer that's coming in, whether it's overseas or domestically, they're right there, and it's all, you know, you can all be, oh, a lot of it can be attributed to that $10 million race day. Mm.
Vin, I love the sales, and the best thing I love about the sales are these new season sires. I mean, we saw it recently with I'm Invincible, who just burst onto the scene and
yep.
and now has just multiple group runners all over the country. Who are you most excited to see go through the ring this year from the new sires list?
Look, it's a great crop, and you can always get yourself in a lot of trouble because when you don't mention someone's horse and they're there. But I will sort of stick my neck out a little bit. I don't think anyone would mind me saying the horse like Zoostar is probably the one that the most buyers will be paying a lot of attention to. But a couple of smokies in there. The Magic Millions winner himself, Unencumbered. He's got some lovely horses around the place. Sizzling, he again was a Magic Millions graduate, a Group 1 winner. He's got some seriously good-looking horses. And local horse up here, Queensland horse Spirit of Boom. While we haven't got a lot of them, they just look like runners. They're really, really good sorts.
I had to get old Dr. Evil on you here, but how many horses do you think will get to the $1 million mark, Vin?
Oh, look, if we get one, I'll be happy. But last year we had six, so...
Yeah.
So there'll be a couple, at least. So, here's hoping.
Yeah, and 1,030 lots. We had Peter Snowden on a little bit earlier, and he said, look, you go up there for some fun, and I'm sure a lot of people do, Vin, but for the people up there that are serious about purchasing racehorses, there's a lot of work to get through, and the beauty of it is now that they've got some quality too, which probably makes it even harder.
Oh, it is. It's a very, very deep catalogue. The serious players, the players that aren't up here to have all that fun, but they've been looking at horses since Wednesday, flat out.
Yeah.
And what we're looking at, we're Sunday morning now. There's still today, tomorrow, and Tuesday before we get going in the sale. So, good three days left of looking, doing your second inspection, third inspection, your vet inspections, etc. So, it does take a lot of work to refine your catalogue. And someone like Peter Snowden, who, you know, he's a highly successful trainer, and his team around him, they've been working very hard amongst everyone else.
Is there one standout lot?
Mm.
Oh, I think the brother to Sizzling, he's by I'm Invincible, who couldn't be going any better. John Muir from Milburn Creek bred the colt. He sold Sizzling with us a few years ago. This colt's a superstar. He's just
so good looking. And John could do with some tonics. His wife had a little bit of bad luck a couple of weeks ago, so hopefully we can reward him with a good price and a salary.
And Vin, what about the international interest? I mean, last year we saw the Americans out here and they were spending up big. We always know we get the Asian clients as well. Have we got the South Africans back and like just other parts of the world interested in the sale?
Oh, we do. We work very hard to get them around. Unfortunately, the South Africans, their rand has gone against us a little bit. So we'll get them at other sales. They look like they're lining up for a national sale later in the year. But I think we'll get some very good money from America. There's a lot of people coming from America. Asia will be super strong. And we'll get a bit of Middle Eastern money as well.
Very good. Vin, very busy time of the year for you. We appreciate your time on a Sunday morning. And good luck with the
sale
very
much.
Through the course of the week.
Lads, all the best.
Yeah, Vin Cox there, Managing Director of the Magic Million Sales. And they start next week. And I think a lot of programming up and around that. Andrew Bensley will be there.
Yes.
There or thereabouts. And keep you updated of what's happening. And, of course, we've got that big $10 million day on the Gold Coast as well. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Trent Landscale, Paul Gow, Emily Lees, Mickey Edwards. It's a full dance card.
When the traffic snarls are getting you down, escape to a world full of Sacred Hill wine and try Sacred Hill Shiraz Cabernet, the right-priced red by De Bortoli. Here's the traffic.
The new Poco catalogue is out now. Save even more at Poco with up to 50% off furniture, bedding, electrical and homewares. Hurry into Poco at Blacktown and Crossroads today. In Greenacre, traffic lights are flashing yellow on the Hume Highway at Worth Street. And Sydney Airport traffic is really crawling into the International Terminal now on Mars Street and Airport Drive. Not too bad on the M5 on your way in, though. The Eastern Distributor is busy but moving as well. Work continues on the Harbour Bridge to remove the old toll plazas. Oz Design Furniture's 25% off sale has been extended. Save 25% off store-wide. Must end tomorrow. Shop in-store or online at ozdesignfurniture.com.au. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
The new year will be packed with plenty of thrilling harness racing. Tuesday mornings, Greg Hayes brings you all the latest in On The Pace. Hear from trainers, drivers and industry officials. On The Pace, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
Well, Lionel, our Everything Must Go sale is about to go.
No, it isn't, Mum. It's still all go.
There's more?
Yes, more. Still more TVs, fridges, washers, more vacuums, aircons, coffee machines. They all must go at Bingley.
I could go a coffee.
There's no time for coffee, Mum. Everything's got to go.
But only for a few more days.
Everything in our online catalogue at bingley.com.au.
It ends on January 8th.
The Everything Must Go sale, last days at Bingley.
Excludes Asco and Miller.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline. Experience Sydney racing at its best with a 2017 Australian Turf Club membership. Get access to exclusive events, world-class facilities and money can't buy experiences across four iconic racetracks. Join today. Visit theatc.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Time now to speak to Trent Landscale from tab.com.au, and it's actually the first time that we're doing it this year.
Beautiful.
Who knows what clobber he's in? Probably best way to determine that is to find out what clobber he was in yesterday. Morning, Trent.
Good morning to you, Jimmy, and it's an unsettling image I can imagine, Dave, but because of how hot it's been down here in Melbourne, just shorts and the shirt, that's enough, Jimmy. I don't think that anyone needs to know anymore.
I thought he was going to say he was Starkus for a minute.
No,
I thought he's
in the Reg Grundy's in the wire front.
Absolutely not.
Okay, well, talking about the visual image, let's get on to the prices here. Big Bash, mate, I'd imagine turnover's great on this, and understandably so. There's just something for everyone every night of the week.
There is, Jimmy. Well, just looking at what, from this time last season, it's around about a 10% increase, and even the live betting, as Dave would know, that there's 35%, roughly that amount, is actually as the game is actually going. So there's a lot of people there that are just waiting to see what happens, and as Dave is aware, you can have a 20-run over or 2 wickets in 4 balls, and all of a sudden the odds just change dramatically. So there is plenty happening in the Big Bash, and there's another game tonight, 7:10 start at Blundstone Arena. The Hobart Hurricanes, $1.70, and the Sydney Thunder at $2.15, a must-win match for both of these sides. For the Hobart Hurricanes high bat, Tim Payne is the $3.75 favourite, and you've got Kumar Sangakkara and Darcy Short. They're both $4.50, and George Bailey not in the ODI squad, a $5 chance. And for the Sydney Thunder high bat, well, Owen Morgan's no longer there, so you've got James Vince now, the $3.75 favourite, with Aiden Blizzard, Curtis Patterson and Shane Watson. They're all at $4.50, and then Ryan Gibson at $5.
Round 14 of the A-League, Trent continues, and we've got a big game today with the Sydney FC and Central Coast.
Yeah, lopsided here, Dave. 5 o'clock there in Gosford. You've got Central Coast, the $6.50 outsiders. The draw's at $5, and Sydney FC still yet to taste defeat in the 2016-2017 season. They're $1.40 favourites there, so that's the one match to finish round 14. And just some of the third round matches in the FA Cup overnight, starting from 12:30 in the morning, you've got Liverpool $1.15 at home to Plymouth Argyle. Chelsea are $1.13 when they entertain Peterborough United. Middlesbrough $1.87, they're at home to Sheffield Wednesday. And then Tottenham $1.28 at home to Aston Villa. So as you discussed with Andy Pascalides a little bit earlier, would be a big shock if any of those four Premier League sides actually, well, were forced to a replay or actually happened to lose.
We're just about to, well, we're seeing the pre-game entertainment for this big NFL playoff game. Houston Texans up against the Oakland Raiders. This potentially a very low-scoring game, and the home team, it's at NRG Stadium, which is where the Super Bowl will be held this year. You would expect the locals to win.
Well, they should, Jimmy. They've got Brock Osweiler, who actually got benched a couple of weeks ago Tom Savage, and he's in concussion protocol, so he's not too sure what's happening, unfortunately for him. But, yeah, Brock Osweiler, he hasn't played well, and he's up against the Oakland Raiders with Connor Cook, who is having his first start in a playoff game. Unfortunately, Derek Carr broke his leg a couple of weeks ago, and Oakland would have been in a far better spot if Derek Carr was still the QB. But as a result, the Houston Texans, they're $1.45 favourites. The Oakland Raiders, $2.75. The line is 3.5. Just the over-unders, you've got 34.5, 36.5, and 38.5, even though it's in a dome stadium with a retractable roof. So, yes, could be a struggle there. That's about to get underway on ESPN. And then the other wildcard playoff game today, the Seattle Seahawks, $1.25 at home to the Detroit Lions at $4. The line is 7.5. And you've got over-under lines of 41.5, 43.5, and 45.5. That'll be around about 12:15 this afternoon. Just tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock, the Pittsburgh Steelers, $1.18 at home to the Miami Dolphins. And then after that, so around about 8:40, the Green Bay Packers, $1.45 against the New York Giants. Plenty of tennis. The APA International gets underway today. You've also got the final for the men in Brisbane, 8 o'clock tonight, where Grigor Dimitrov is a $2.70 5 outsider against Kei Nishikori at $1.40. So plenty happening in all the sporting landscape. You can check out all the markets at tab.com.au, and at the Tab, we love a bet.
Trent Lenscale in Y-fronts. That's what's the image been left with me after that little chat today. Good on you, Trent.
On you, Trent.
Think a bit more positively there, Jimmy. It's not that scary.
That's a good point. 1353 53, the open line number. A break, some rehabilitation, and back with more.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wideline Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au.
This truly magical thoroughbred Able Friends going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Now, this next caller found love in a very unusual place. Tell us about it, Damo.
Yeah, I was actually out on a boat with the boys.
I'm intrigued.
It was the TJ Smith Stakes. I was miles from a TV, so I watched it live on my Tab app. And Chautauqua, wow!
You've got to love that. It's easy to love a bet when you can prepare for the punt, watch racing live, and relive the action with the Tab app.
Tab, we love a bet. Replay is not available on Victorian thoroughbred races. Gamble responsibly.
Did you know New Zealand bred horses won 25% of Australia's Group 1 races last season from just 5.4% of runners? Be it New Zealand Bloodstock's national yearling sale at Karaka from January 30 to source the next Group 1 star.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man?
Who?
The man from Mazda, Davey. Penrith Mazda Centre is family-owned and operated with the best selection and best prices on all new Mazdas, including the BT50. Massive fan of the BT50.
They are beautiful cars.
Tub, not tray. The BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque, and more comfort. Come and see the BT50 specialist at the Mazda Ute Centre, Penrith, with over 40 BT50s on display at Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road at Penrith, MD188008.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program.
It's a bit of Foles. You across them, those blokes?
Foles?
Foles.
No.
Good band. A very good work from our panel operator there. It's outstanding.
Good work, Hamish. You missed the ding on the previous correct question, remember? Anyway, apart from that, we'll let that go. There's a good song there that you've just joined us with.
Gee, you're a hard man, Jimmy.
Oh, I tell you what, you've got to be honest these days. I tell you who's going to be honest with us right now, Paul Gow, preview what's coming up in 2017. From a golf point of view, of course, there's the Tournament of Champions being played at the moment in Kapalua. How nice does it look? Have you seen the pictures coming through there?
Only a few, but it looks outstanding. Does any golf course that these blokes play on look bad, though?
That's true. That's a very good point. Paul Gow can attest to that. G'day, Gowie.
Yeah, morning, fellas. Yeah, the TV... Believe it or not, Dave,
it
doesn't send the right picture because those golf courses in America aren't near as good as our golf courses in Australia. They look pretty, but they're not that great.
Is that right?
That is correct. That was the biggest myth and the biggest disappointment when I first got to the US Tour that the golf courses were just ordinary. So Kapalua was one of them.
Ordinary course?
Just a wide-open paddock with a hole in the middle of a short green and a bit of wind and a bit of water around it. That's pretty.
Any other expensive golf course around the United States you'd like to trash it while you're at it?
Oh, I'm not trashing it. It's just not that interesting. I could go play at Roseville Golf Club down the road. It's more interesting.
How good's Gowie?
Fantastic. Now, Gowie, talk about interesting. It's going to be interesting from a golf point of view. About what Tiger Woods does in 2017. Forget about, you know, from a Tiger point of view. I'd imagine the whole golf world is just desperate for him to come back and play more tournaments. I think he played the one in 2016. What's the latest?
Yeah, well, he's going to be back. It's quite a schedule. When Tiger was at his prime, he didn't play that many events. He mapped out about 18, 19 events in total. He played 72 holes in 16 months. And played the Hero World Challenge there and shot a little 65 there and people got excited. But his body's got to hold up. He's going to play 4 out of 5 events at the beginning of the year. He's going to play the Genesis LA Open, which he grew up in the area. So that's going to be his first event back. But 4 out of 5 weeks, we'll know about, you know, if his body's going to hold up on this. And, you know, having a look at how he played at that that event in the Bahamas, he didn't swing the club as hard. He wasn't as violent within his golf swing. And I think if he does that, his body will hold up. But, you know, these sports people, they're egotistical maniacs, and he might just keep going at it hard, and his body will not hold up. And that'll be sad for the golfing world because I tell you what, everyone turns on the television when Tiger Woods is playing golf.
Absolutely.
Gary, Jason Day seems to be going all right. He's 10 under at the moment through 6 in that tournament we were speaking about before. But he's been copping a bit of flack about his speed.
Yeah, well, the last couple of years, he's been really deliberate with his pre-shot routine and his focus and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, his results have been exceptional. And, well, he started the year, the pressure finally got onto him. So, well, mate, you're taking a bit too long. The fact is with golfers, when you see them play, the first person who gets to their ball, their first to hit, they've got a time limit of 50 seconds to hit that shot from the time they turn up to their ball. And the second player at 40 seconds. And at times, different players take up to 2 to 3 minutes to hit a shot. But to Jason's defence, the PGA Tour only timed him once last year. So a few of the players have come out and said, well, maybe it's the better players don't get timed as much. But Yep, the pressure onto him this year, so expect him to speed up a little bit. He's saying that he won't. He said he's going to be a little bit more deliberate this year and a little bit slower. So I think he's sucker punched them.
Justin Thomas and Ryan Moore are at 13 under as they're playing their third round. They are one under, both of them, through the Jimmy Walker and Patrick Reed at 12 under, and then Jason Day at 10 under. I saw a quote from Jason Day, Gower, yesterday, and they said, you know, about today's round. He said, yeah, I get out there nice and early, and then I get more chill time around the pool tomorrow afternoon. How seriously do they take this tournament?
Oh, they do. They all take it pretty serious. There'll be a couple there that don't. You know, they're probably still relaxing. You know, they've got Sony next week, which is still in Hawaii. So there's a few chilling out. But for someone like Jason, he hasn't played golf for 3 months. He'd been rehabbing.
Yes.
That's the reason he didn't come to Australia. So he's keen as mustard. Like, it's like all professional athletes. It's, something's taken away from them for a few months. They can't wait to get back into it. So he's pumped. And, you know, he started the tournament well there. Patrick Reed, he done something yesterday that not a lot of golfers do. He hit 18 green in regulation, shot a little 62 or 3 yesterday. So they're obviously all ready to play.
Yeah.
Justin Johnson, well, you don't know whether he's chilling or not because he looks like he's chilling all the time. But he's right in there. We've got two other Aussies, or three other Aussies there. We've got Rod Pinkley, who is a Queenslander. They chill a lot. Greg Chalmers and Aaron Baddeley, the there, I must tell you, $1.1 million for the winner for this.
Yes.
Only 32 players. Last paycheck's about $160,000 US. So don't be feeling too sorry for it.
It's a good start to the year, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Isn't it a great start to the year? Well, they just get a jump start on everybody else in the field. And next week's the Sony Open, and it'll be back to all players that are eligible for that event.
All right. Thanks for slagging off all those courses over in the US. We appreciate that. thanks for giving us an insight into what's happening in 2017. Gary, no doubt, back on the Big Sports Breakfast, and we'd love to have a chat to you when appropriate.
No problem. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Gary.
Paul Gower there. If you, I mentioned those leaders on that the Kapalua tournament, the Tournament of Champions, suspended betting at the moment. So if you want to have a look at that, you can call 133-390 is that number. 1353-53 is our number. You can give it a call now. We're going to have a chat to Emily Lees, who's from the Women's Big Bash League, the Rebel Women's Big Bash League. Aren't they flying the Sydney Sixers on top of the comp? And Mickey Edwards, he's from the Sydney Sixers as well. Doesn't play for them. Fielded for Australia, though, and immediately became a cult hero.
It's a kind of magic.
Your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, is raring to go when the Gold Coast comes alive Saturday, January 14, for Magic Millions Race Day.
But it's all Capitalis well clear, and Capitalis will brain them, the favourite, bolts in the Magic Millions.
From Tuesday, BSB Extra, Racing HQ and the National Racing Service brings you daily updates on the Magic Millions 2-year-old Classic and 3-year-old Guineas. Then from Wednesday, some of the best pedigree yearlings from around Australasia go under the hammer. Your Magic Millions headquarters, Sky Sports Radio.
In a moment, the traffic. A smart man once said, remember, today is the tomorrow you worried about yesterday. So remember, today, buy a bottle of Windy Peak wine for the guests coming tomorrow. Here's the traffic.
Right now at Snooze, absolutely everything is on sale during our biggest bedroom sale. Hurry into your nearest store today. It's amazing what a little Snooze can do. At Sydney Airport, traffic is crawling into the international terminal on Mast Street. It is bumper to bumper from the M5. Airport Drive starting to fill up as well. The approaches, though, the M5 is moving at speed through the main tunnel. No delays on the Eastern Distributor. Work continues on the Harbour Bridge to remove the old toll plazas, but no impact to traffic. And in Greenacre, the traffic lights are flashing yellow on the Hume Highway at Worth Street. Don't miss a bargain. The IKEA sale is now on. Save up to 50% on selected items. Visit your local IKEA, Tempe Roads or Marsden Park store, or ikea.com.au. I'm Tim Govers on Sky Sports Radio.
Harvey Norman massive half-yearly clearance on now with 50 months interest-free store-wide. Huge clearance deals across all categories. Furniture, bedding, home appliances, computer technology and entertainment. Big brands, big savings. Buy now with 50 months interest-free store-wide. That's no deposit, no interest with 50 equal monthly payments until March 2021. Minimum finance amount $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in-store and online. Harvey Norman massive half-yearly clearance on now.
Toyota Material Handling delivers more than just market-leading forklifts. They have solutions for every pallet.
from trusted Toyota counterbalance forklifts, pallet jacks, stackers and auto pickers, right up to lift platforms, warehouse racking, AGVs and more, all tailored to your needs. For new and used sales, short or long-term forklift hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right solution for your business. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Well, it was popular last year, but that popularity has been surpassed by this year.
Unbelievable.
Davey, the number of people getting to the ground live, the number of people watching on TV, the number of people watching through streaming devices, because that every game is now covered live.
There's also an iPhone app game where you can be your favourite player and play
all of that.
The big bash on your phone.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the WBBL has just gone from strength to strength in its second season. One of the stars for the Sydney Sixers is Emily Lees, and she's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Emily.
Hi, how you going, guys?
Yeah, really well. Hey, how are you going? You guys are cruising top of the ladder, and I guess it helps when you've got two standout players in Elise Perry and Elisa Healy that are playing so well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely had a better start than we had last year. I still think we've got a few little things we need to work on, but momentum's building nicely, and they always say you've got a peak at the right end of the season, so hopefully we're building into that. And like you said, we've got our big players playing well, not just Alyssa and Elise. We've got Marizane Kapp and Danae van Niekerk and people like that who are world-class and starting to put together some good performances as well, so it's good.
Emily, a big match later on today against Perth, and you must be looking forward to getting out there, as Jimmy alluded to, you're flying. But the thing I've noticed with both the men's comp and also the women's comp is that it's a flip of the coin stuff. You know, it's on. It can just change that quickly.
Yeah, I think after our first and second game, we went from top of the table to bottom. So you're right, it does turn around really quickly. And because the games are sort of so back-to-back and all the teams have got such big names and such good talent, I think you're never guaranteed a win in any game and you can never be assured of your position on the ladder. And Perth will be a really tough team because I believe they're actually sitting second behind us at the moment. So. Mm.
It's a bit frustrating, Emily, not getting the opportunities that, you know, you get all kitted up and you're ready to go and then you just don't get that opportunity. I know it's a team sport, but you do like to contribute.
Yeah, of course. For me, I didn't even get to play all the games last season. So, to be honest, I'm just glad to be out there and running around.
Sure.
And with the players that we've got in our team, it's pretty much a privilege just to be running around with them at training and learning off them. And I'm still younger than them and I've still got a lot to learn. I can learn a lot from being just on the field as well and in those big moments and stuff like that. So I'm having a great time, and obviously you always do like to contribute and take your opportunity when it comes, but there's a lot of good players ahead of me at the moment as well. So I'm quite content where I am.
Have you played on the SCG before?
Yeah, I got a game there last year. Last year was my first time on there. So,
Well, this is exciting because this coming Saturday, we've got the WBBL and the BBL. The crowd will be big. It's on free-to-air telly as well on Channel 10. Do you have a look at your schedule when something like this comes up and say, wow, what a great opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the big one with that one as well is against Thunder. So there are big rivals, and we always like to get up for those games and to have it in an atmosphere like the SCG and have the men playing afterwards. It's going to be something pretty special and something we all really enjoy. So, yeah, definitely really looking forward to that one. We've got a couple of games to get through first, but that's always going to be a highlight on our calendar.
Well, I've got to ask, because I admire all forms of the cricket, male and female, because, you know, you'd be bowling me out for nothing. But the girl from Canada, how it says on the profile here, medium pace bowler. How quick are we throwing the pills down?
To be honest, I'm not really sure. I tend to bowl a lot of off cutters and sort of take the pace off a lot. So for me, it's not about bowling as quick as I can. I sort of try and do a lot of variations and change up. But honestly, I couldn't tell you how quick I bowl.
You'd still have me running. I'd be gone. Big Drew would be gone. I'd be frightening. The thing I've noticed with the crowds from going to the BBL is is the girls, the young girls that are getting there and getting involved. And that's what I love is that, you know...
It's a pathway.
You know, and the fact that cricket is, and it always has been, but now it's becoming that sport where... You know, it's not just male dominated, and that's very exciting, very very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I was growing up, I played in all men's teams, and obviously had a really good time doing that. But you talk to the kids now, and they're playing in girls' competitions, and they know other girls that are playing, and it's sort of a bit more normal for them, which is really exciting. And the support we've had from the crowds and the kids and stuff coming out and getting involved, and not just the girls as well, the young boys that come up to us and. After our games and things like that, and are completely stoked to see the girls out there running around is something really special and something they've done really well with in the way they've managed the Big Bash.
Yeah, sounds like you're enjoying your time. Why wouldn't you be? It's a great competition. It's going to be a massive game. Well, you've got games beforehand, as you mentioned, but massive game next Saturday against the Crosstown Rivals. We wish you all the best for that, and thanks very much for joining us early on a Sunday.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Emily.
Emily Lee's there, part of the Sydney Sixers side in the Women's Big Bash League. They are top of the comp, going incredibly well, and that will be a huge clash. Get out there early to the SCG if you're heading out for that. It'll be close to a sellout, nearly 40,000 there, so we can look forward to that game.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
It is not often you have a talk topic and the person that inspired it is also on the program.
Yes.
But that is exactly what we have on our hands here today, Dave Stanley, because Mickey Edwards, the bloke who replaced Dave Warner, and they booed David Warner when he came back on the field.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
It wouldn't happen anywhere else in the world, would it?
I don't know. I don't know what they're like in South Korea with their cult heroes, but anyway, it happened in Australia and it happened to Mickey Edwards. He joins us on the line. G'day, Mickey.
Hello, how you guys going?
Yeah, really well, mate. How much fun was that?
Yeah, that was a whole heap of fun. Couldn't believe it when they booed when Dave walked. I should have got him to run me some sunscreen. I was getting a bit sunburned out there.
Mickey, how did it happen? Like, were you doomed to be the reserve fielder, or did you get the call up late? We had Eddie Cowan contact the program, and he was in the beer line when he got to field for Australia before playing for Australia.
Is that right? No, I wasn't quite there. I got the phone call asking if I wanted to sort of run drinks on Saturday. I was meant to be working for Budgie Smuggler in their store, so I thought, yeah, I'll probably have to miss that one and maybe run drinks for Australia. Oh. And then I thought that I didn't expect to be fielding. That was sort of what I was trying to avoid. But, yeah, no, it was cool, and I actually got to go on field. It was a good experience.
Mickey, for people that have, you know, just seen you and they haven't caught up with the news and everything like that, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a Manly local and you're going all right. You've got some dreams and aspirations.
Yep. So I'm from Manly, around Manly. Play for Manly Warringah, and I do actually play cricket. I've contracted with New South Wales, which might surprise people, not just pulled from the Wongle fan. I was contracted with Sixers last year, but just had a bad run of injuries with three stress fractures in a row. So just coming back from that at the moment, having to play a bit of cricket in the next couple of months and maybe put on a real baggy green in the next few years.
Yeah, that'd be great. Give us some insight. Who's the guys who are chirpy in the dressing sheds, who quiet, keep to themselves? What did you glean from your time inside the Australian dressing room?
Nate Lyons, he's always got a bit to say. I spent a bit of time with him in the past, so he thought it was pretty funny to keep throwing me the ball and making the crowd cheer. he's always good to have around. They're all good blokes. Steve Smith gave me a lot of time as well, which is really cool. I was trying not to be too much of a fangirl in there and get all their autographs, but it was hard not to because they're all legends in my eyes.
Speaking of legends, Bill Laurie was in commentary at the time, and there was speculation. One of these co-commentators said, "I think they might have dragged him out of the concourse." And Bill said, "Well, they didn't drag him out of the barbers. It's not about what about the hair, Mickey? It came up big."
it is getting a bit out of hand, especially when the wind was in my back. It was sort of blowing in my eyes. Couldn't really see. Praying the ball didn't come to me because I had strands of hair in my eyes. Probably time for a cut now, I reckon.
I don't know, Mickey. People won't recognise you. If I was you, I don't know your status at the moment, but if I was you out on the circuit, I'd leave the hair.
Yeah, I might have to keep it for a bit longer then.
Keep it for a bit longer. Hey, Mickey, let's hope everything goes to plan for you and you get yourself back on the field for the Sixers and for New South Wales. And from there, who knows? But congratulations on having a little field yesterday, becoming a cult hero, and for joining us on the program this morning.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Mickey Edwards there, part of the Sydney Sixers. Of course, they've got a game on tomorrow night out at the SCG as well, mm-hmm. as that big game on Saturday that we've been talking about. So make sure you get out there and see those guys in action, and girls.
Yep.
Morning, Jimmy and Dave. A couple of late nominations for your cult heroes. Yeah, Mickey inspired our talk topic this morning. Gorgeous Georgie Rose from the world of rugby league. And Mark Cosgrove from cricket. Yeah, because he... You don't need to be a chiselled athlete to be a fan favourite.
Don't.
Thanks, gents. Dave from Penshurst.
You don't. You don't need to be a fine-tuned, well-oiled machine.
See, this is where you looked at me like that and I thought, you could probably be a cult figure, couldn't you?
Yeah, but I've got to go to the dentist every week, though. That's the problem.
Just on that, we've got a tip coming in here from someone. Who
I
was
saw
it?
That down there.
Where are we? Dave and Jimmy, big tip today for the dentist followers. It's on the back of your... little issue with the Big Sports Breakfast after being to the dentist. At Warrnambool, race 3, number 13, Zab Extra.
Mm.
Zab Extra, Zab Extra. You guessed it, it's on at 2.30.
2.30.
So there you go. Dad hasn't missed it all.
That's, very good.
Very good. No name on that one, but do appreciate it. 13.53.53, the open line number. Crossy is there. Hello, Crossy. Crossy, this Crossy? No, you're going Dave first. All right, it's Dave. G'day,
hello, Dave.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Good night.
Really well.
Hey, guys, what's about tennis, if that's okay?
Yeah, go for it.
There's only 4 Grand Slam tournaments each year. We were lucky to have one of them, but we miss out on a few of the really, really big stars coming out here, except the Australian Open, like Djokovic and Murray and Williams aren't playing in Australia until the Australian Open.
Yeah.
So Tennis Australia, they were offered by the ATP to have, I think it's called the Super 9 tournament. This is going back about 5 years ago.
So right.
We could have one of the big second-tier tournaments here. That would mean our season would be extended by a week or two. But Channel 7 said, no, we want the tennis to finish up before the ratings period start.
Right.
Now, 2 years ago, the contract for the TV for tennis in Australia came up for renewal. Tennis Australia didn't go to tender. They just signed with Channel 7 again without seeing what the market would offer. So I reckon that Tennis Australia is asleep at the wheel, and I reckon they've allowed the sport to become like a second-level sport in Australia. I think it's a good example of, you know, of sort of how that's happening.
Dave, I'm not completely au fait with the way things have, but now that you mention it, I don't remember the tennis broadcast rights being up for grabs. I don't remember there being a bidding frenzy, because I tell you what you can do with the Australian Open. It garners so many eyeballs in that two-week period that you can promote, it might be a loss leader for you, you can promote what's coming up on your network for that year. I'll never forget the year that Leighton Hewitt made his way to the final against Marat Safin was 2005. Yeah. And Desperate Housewives was the TV program that I felt I'd watched because of all the ads that were coming off for Desperate. And I think I even watched an episode of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think they're doing a pretty bad job of administering the sport here. And, the fact that our season is so short, the top players come here for only a very small period of time.
Yeah.
Some of the good players, they only come. Like, I'm going to the Sydney tournament tomorrow.
Yes.
And it's a pretty crappy lineup.
Well, it's especially the men's. The women's is pretty strong in the APA International, especially the men's. But the reason for that is because it doesn't have the status that the women's side of the draw enjoys. So that's another reason that they don't. And the other thing is they like to play games. So they put themselves up for that exhibitions down at Kooyong. And
would say, though, in the future that... It would be nice to see the Aussie Open for Foxtel subscribers. This may be something for the future for Tennis Australia to look at, getting Fox Sports on board and working like Channel 7 together, getting them, you know, if you don't have Foxtel, but it just would be nice to have an uninterrupted channel there, because you do miss a lot. I don't know they've got the 2-7 channels,
There's a lot on.
There's a lot on, and if you get your hardcore fans like Dave,
yep,
he could just sit there and relax, and maybe that could solve a few problems.
Well, the other thing is the timing of the tournament too.
Yes,
it makes it so hard for them in the preparation. Anyway,
I'll never forget they stopped. Remember they stopped the game for Black Caviar.
Remember that?
Oh, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, they interrupted a game. It was the Moya. The Moya Stakes.
Okay, there you go. Hello, Crossy.
Morning, lads.
What do you got for
before us? Before I get to my cult hero, on the back of that Channel 7 stuff as well,
yeah.
You're right, Jimmy. I'm sure I watched 17 episodes of Lost before I...
Lost,
that's it.
It was Lost and Desperate Housewives.
There you go.
Cranked them.
There's another one.
Thanks for bringing that back up, mate.
No, it was. I think I'm right in saying that it's still the highest rated television sports program in Australian history. Marat Safin versus Leighton Hewitt.
Well, I watched it. It was the first night one, wasn't it?
Oh, now you got me.
I'm pretty sure it was the first night one.
First night one, okay. We'll have to check that.
Yeah, 2005, I'm sure it was. But that's all right, that was years ago. Mate, you might have experienced this cult hero. I grew up in Lemire, early 90s. I remember going down and the big Rambo, when Rambo, Ronnie Gibbs would get up off the bench and he'd come out, second half, whatever, and the crowd used to go nuts for him.
Yeah.
I know it was the back end of his career, but geez, I knew nothing about him. I was only 10 or whatever when he was sort of playing. But yeah, like my old man, his mates, and the crowd, they'd go nuts for him.
I thought you were going to say Angelo Alavanga, but there's another cult hero for the Western Suburbs Magpies. Good on you, Crossy. Yeah, Ronnie Rambo Gibbs. What a legend. Hey, Dave.
Yes, mate.
That's 3 hours. It's gone like that.
That has flown.
Hasn't it?
So that's the last time I give sympathy to you, your co-hosts. Terry Kennedy, Michael Slater, fair dinkum. If this is a job,
it's a walk in the park.
Leave me out of it.
Have a great day, mate.
Thank you, mate.
Good job.